Since 1961, artist William Christenberry has been returning home every summer to Hale County, Alabama. He doesn't go to visit family or friends. He goes, instead, to photograph long-forgotten buildings in the county's hidden corners. To mark the passage of time, he's been taking photos of the same structures year after year. His favorite building sits alone in a forest. It's totally covered in fake red brick siding. Ann Strangechamps asked Christenberry how he found the little red building.
I like to range. In this case, I took a country road off the main road. It was a paved road, but it was a road where you very, very seldom see any other traffic, any cars or trucks, out into this area of what is a beautiful pine forest. And there is some, you know, there are lumber companies that work there, but ordinarily you don't see anybody. And I came around a curve in the road, and here was this, for me, just exquisite little piece of vernacular architecture, this little building that I thought was most interesting because the door of it, closed, of course, was covered with the same fake brick siding.
Yeah, so in your photographs, it looks like somebody's bricked up the door.
Yes, yes, exactly. I don't know if that was deliberate or tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but I thought, boy, that's wonderful.
What is it that makes you think of that as an exquisite little building? Because a lot of people wouldn't look at it twice.
Well, I like how time and the elements alter things and make things oftentimes more interesting. But just the proportions of that building, it's not a great piece of architecture. By the way, for years I didn't know its function because, as I said, I never saw anyone there when I was there. I guess it was about 10 years ago I found out that it was a polling place, that is, where people working out in that country, in the forest, and eking out a living in a small farming plot, these people would come on voting day and cast their vote rather than going about 15 miles to the county seat. But before that, I finally discovered that many, many years ago, it was a one-room schoolhouse.
Wow.
One-room schoolhouse. And now it's just there.
Have you found that most people down in the areas where you go to photograph, do they appreciate, do they understand your photographs, or do they think you're doing something kind of weird?
That's a good question. Some are supportive and some are skeptical or, unfortunately, think that I'm making fun or demeaning the South, which is quite the opposite.
Because you're choosing to photograph these little run-down kind of shack-like places?
Well, they aesthetically, again, they interest me. My region, where I'm from, West Central Alabama, is rich with great antebellum mansions left over from Civil War days. And many of them are well-kept. And they are beautiful. But what mankind does, especially, again, with country architecture, out of necessity, with what's at hand, just intrigues me no end. And the fact that in most vernacular architecture cases, you never see two that are alike, two buildings that are alike. So, yes, I've been criticized by some of painting a picture, so to speak, of the South that's not what some people appreciate. But I think if one really looks carefully at the work, in all of its aspects, in terms of the painting, the sculpture, the drawing, and of course the photographs, I think they would really see or sense that this is a love affair.
One of the things that's so moving about looking at your photographs of buildings, these small, often very poor buildings, is seeing the series, you know, over the course of the years and seeing, in some cases, the changes, what happens to some of these buildings. There's one I'm thinking about that starts out as, oh, maybe it's just a little juke joint. I think you see the...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, out front, and then as the years go by, it becomes a barbecue place.
Right.
Well, you describe that.
Well, initially, I think the first picture I made of it was 67 or 68. It was Woods Radio and TV Repair. So from Woods Radio and TV Repair, it became the Barbecue Inn. And that was a very, very good example of a juke joint. Because on Friday and Saturday night, there was wonderful blues music and wonderful barbecue in the Barbecue Inn. And then in the 90s, I was there, I think it was 97, and it had burned. They had a fire. And the structure, the brick structure, at least the exterior, was still pretty much intact. But then the next year I go back, and it was nothing but that concrete slab there. It was gone.
I have to tell you, going through the pages and seeing those photographs one after another, the first pages when it's Woods Radio and TV, and then when it becomes the Juke Joint, there's mm-hmm. such a sense of the life that goes on in this place, even though there are no people in
there's
any
no
of
people.
Your pictures. But mm-hmm. you just have a sense of the life that's contained mm-hmm. in this place. And when you turn the page and you get to the picture where the building's gone, mm-hmm. it makes you gasp. You know, there's this feeling like the breath just got sucked out of you.
I'll tell you a quick side to that. You're absolutely right. And that suite, that group of pictures that we're talking about, the Barbecue Inn, was exhibited in a gallery here in Washington just a few days. This was not planned. The exhibition was already in the works right after September the 11th. And a lot of people were brought to tears by that concrete slab. They identified with that great disaster that our country had experienced. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They identified with that.
This must have happened to you more than once, to go back and find that a building you've been photographing for, you know, 20 years or more is suddenly gone.
It happens almost annually now. Almost annually, something that I've been involved with in every way, with the camera, with drawing and painting. I go back, can't wait to get there, and deal with it annually, and it's gone. And some nondescript mobile home on its site. At least where the Barbecue Inn was, it's not anything on that slab until last summer when I was there, and it had become a car wash. They had a beautiful, big, black, shiny Buick car just having been washed, just gleaming out there on that concrete slab.
William Christenberry's book of photographs is simply called William Christenberry, and Strange Champ spoke with him.
I had been photographing, actually right up the street from the Barbecue Inn, another country store, and no one was around. It was kind of strange. It was a very quiet day, and I'm under the dark cloth, that is with the big camera, focusing, and I heard no footsteps, nothing. And when I took the cloth off my head, right to my left, it startled me. It didn't scare me, but startled me was this man. And he was beautiful, purple-black skin, as you see so often in African-American people in the Deep South, purple-black. And he was dressed in a white short-sleeve starch shirt, white starch, white pants, white shoes, freshly polished, and a big wide-brim white hat. And he said to me, "You like that old building, son?" I said, "Yes, sir." "You ought to see my house." More out of courtesy, I said, "Well, sir, when I finish here, I'd be pleased to see your house." So in a few minutes, I'd finished and broke down the camera and put everything in the car, and he got in beside me, and he says, "Just down that road, about 2 miles. And I started down the road, and then I noticed that his left arm was missing from right below the cuff of the shirt. But I didn't say anything. And in a minute, he says to me, "Pull over on the shoulder of the road, son. That's my house. I built that house with one arm." So we got out, and he wanted to show me inside. And we went in the back door, which was fine. A little red earth path back to the back door. And then my heart really sank because there was no floor. It was just red earth. And a beat-up old mattress over in one corner, some broken chairs. And we chatted a little while, just made small talk. And I said, "Sir, do you mind if I photograph your house?" He said, "Oh, I'd be so pleased. Yes, please. I would be happy for you to. Please." So I went out and set up the big camera, the 8x10, in front of the house, and I made the picture. And I thanked him, and left, thanked him profusely. And I drove away, and when we got back to Washington a week or so later and I saw the proof print, it was okay. Technically, it was sound, properly focused, decently composed, but it did not resonate with what I'd experienced there. Now, let me be the first to say, I don't know, I don't know if it's possible for me or anyone else to have captured that moment. Maybe a poet, certainly a poet could write about this. So I said to myself, well, I'll go back next year. Next year, pretty much to the same day. I get there and I get out of the car and I start walking down that little red earth path. And a man next door to my right came rushing across the lawn, rushing. And he stopped at the fence edge and he said, "You looking for Mr. So-and-so?" I said, "Yes, sir." He died. He froze to death last winter. And I've never been able to go back there.